from Press Communications, LLC. This is Jersey Shore Matters.
It's another really special episode today because of my guest and all that he does here at the shore and through the rest of our beautiful state. I'm Valerie Seagraves, and welcome to Jersey Shore Matters. He is a musician, a track coach, a restaurateur, philanthropist, humanitarian, and from what I understand, all-around great guy who was inducted into the New Jersey Hall of Fame back in 2018, and that is just to put the topping on the ice cream sundae. Tim McClune, you are one busy man, and I thank you so much for joining me for this episode of Jersey Shore Matters. Good morning.
Good morning to you, and thanks, Valerie. It's very nice things you're saying. You could go on if you want.
Well, I'll mention a couple of things, and then I'll ask you to fill in the blanks, if you will.
Sure.
We are here this morning to talk about Holiday Express, which is your labor of love through the holidays. But there's also a bit of a story about you behind all of this that led you to Holiday Express. So could you take a moment or two and just give us a little color about your background?
Well, I think that as it relates to Holiday Express, there's a couple of things. I grew up on the grounds of the Veterans Hospital up in East Orange. And my dad was in charge of the entertainment and athletics for mostly men coming from World War II or Korea. And I was exposed to a lot of severely disabled people at a very early age. And they became kind of natural to me. I wasn't frightened of them. And that sort of traveled forward by years into Holiday Express. What the specific thing with Holiday Express was that I was working for the then New Jersey Nets in the NBA, and one of the players grew up in Newark, and he wanted to feed the homeless on Christmas Eve. Now, asking people to volunteer on Christmas Eve is not the easiest thing in the world, but I was all about it. I thought, this sounds like a great idea. So we had some number of hundreds of, if not homeless, home-challenged people in the Robert Treat Hotel in 1991. And all there was food and a couple of speeches, too many speeches. And I can remember driving home, though, thinking that's the right place to be on Christmas Eve. So a year goes by, and the player left the team. And but I asked one of the owners, are we going to do this anyway? And so we did. And this time, because as I've said, I'm a musical genius, I brought a boombox with me and I was playing Johnny Mathis and Nat King Cole tapes.
How perfect.
And that was the entertainment. But I really, once again, I brought my daughter with me that year, who was a little girl. And we're on the way back on the turnpike in the parkway singing Christmas songs to each other at the top of our lungs. And I just realized that something had happened and I wasn't sure what. So I kept talking about it all year. And now it starts approaching, this is now 1993, and I had this idea. And so I called all the musicians who were still speaking to me and and told them that I wanted to do this thing on Christmas Eve with a live band doing great music for the people. And 17 of them showed up at the first get-together. And so when I saw that many people, I said, well, listen, if we're going to go to the trouble to learn these songs, would you want to do more than one event? So it ended up happening. We did 10 events. We named it Holiday Express. And the reason for that was that it wasn't Christmas Express. It was just a holiday show. And if we do Christmas songs, we do. And if we talk about Hanukkah and Kwanzaa and all the rest of it, we do. But the express part was what I learned first. And that was that the biggest problem people have that we come to see is lack of transportation. And so my original thought was we were going to be in like high school auditoriums. You know, I coach at Rumson Fairhaven. We're going to do it there. My kids are at Red Bank Regional. We'll put something. But the people couldn't come because they couldn't get transportation. So we learned. And that first year, we did 10 events. When it was over on Christmas Eve up in Newark, again, St. John's Soup Kitchen, it was just a cry fest in the parking lot at the Rum Runner when the bus came back. And everyone was really touched by the experience. And so flash forward now that we're in our 33rd year and we do 100 events between the beginning of November. I think we started on November 3rd and we end still at the St. John's Soup Kitchen in Newark on December 24th.
Well, in and of itself, that alone sounds like a full-time job, but you also, you also have like
well,
one or two restaurants.
Well, we have 10, yeah.
Do you really have 10 restaurants now?
Yeah, it's grown.
So on top of running the restaurants that you own, this alone sounds like, in and of itself, a full-time job. How have you managed to juggle all of this through the years?
I would say that people ask me that a lot, you know, because there's other stuff that I do. You know, I'm still a musician, so I play outside of Holiday Express. What anybody in my place would tell you is that I've got tremendous support. We have, first of all, at Holiday Express, we have 4 employees. Everybody else works for free. All the musicians are free. And all the volunteer, we have about 125 musicians now and 1,500 adult and children volunteers who do all the hard part. In the beginning, everything came out of my kitchen table, and then it went down to my garage, and then it went to a trailer in the Rum Runner parking lot. And then we rented a house, and then, you know, you kept growing and moving. Now I'm just back in the band. We have a great staff who basically puts it all together. And I think that the U.S. Army could copy us in terms of logistics, how we get stuff done, how we get 100 shows done in 50 days all over the tri-state area. You know, we're into Pennsylvania and New York, but mostly New Jersey. And to get the truck there and to get the sound crew there and to get the band there and all the volunteers and the food and the gifts and everything. It's a big to-do, but everybody loves it. The magic of Holiday Express, we all know it's better to give than to receive. We've heard that since you were 2. And we get that. And we give. We do. It's a kind of dramatic thing, but we give. But the other part of it, what we're receiving is really, I don't know, I think we're healing ourselves from all the things of life that happen, whether it's untimely passings or divorces or whatever, illnesses, you know. And doing this kind of extravagant gesture to a population that desperately needs it. It's not selfish, but it's self-fulfilling and it's very healing. There's 2 ways you get Holiday Express to come to you. And the first way is that if we're not there, you're going to get little or no attention. And that means long-term residential psychiatric facilities where there are no visitors, or homeless shelters, soup kitchens, AIDS hospices. In a way, the lowest of the low, just places that are way off the grid, and people are not even aware of them in many cases. Or the other way you get us to come is that the need is so great that we're happy to participate. We don't do that many children's shows, but mostly the children and the different people who mostly it's cerebral palsy. So that's how you get us to come. And over the years, it's morphed a lot. In that we're just there to throw the biggest party we possibly can. We decorate the places. In most cases, we bring the food. We've had tremendous support from Jersey Mike's. Jersey Mike's makes about 8,000-9,000 handmade subs for us every year that we give to people.
Every year?
At these events.
And, wow. Yeah.
And the Windmill does 3 or 4 of our shows. Our restaurants do a bunch of them. We probably do 7 or 8 of the shows bringing the food. And Joe Leone, you know, a name you'd be familiar with. A lot of the people in the food industry have been great to us over the years. Sometimes you'll see a big truck called U.S. Foods, and that's a big food purveyor to restaurants, and they jumped in because it's hard to put all this together. We see, I don't even know, somewhere between 25,000 and 30,000 people in those 100 events.
Tim, that's incredible.
Yeah, it's grown so much. You know, that first year, it just seems funny to me now that we did these 10 events, and some of them weren't appropriate. They didn't fit those parameters I just said to you, but we didn't know. We had to try to find an audience. And then I think the first psychiatric place we went to was New Lisbon, I'm pretty sure, down in the Pinelands. And we did the thing there. And then, of course, the people that ran it said, well, you know, you should go to our sister place, Ancora, and you know, and we had, there were 7 of them. We went to all 7, and they were a wake-up call. That's for sure.
I bet word of you. I bet it just spread like wildfire, didn't it?
Well, yeah, you know, and we're free. You know, so many times people who run these places, they'll say, "Now, am I getting an invoice for this?" Everything is 100% free, and you know, the funny part is we feel bad very often about the fact that we're there for 2 hours, right? And then an entire year, you will see us for 2 hours. And I always say that we're kind of like bad aunts and uncles. that we come into wherever we go, and we stir everybody up for a couple of hours, and then we go, hey, look what time it is, gotta go. And we leave them to deal with people that are kind of overstimulated. But it's the greatest, I think, truthfully, I would say honestly to you, Valerie, that this is the only purely good thing all of us have ever done. It's there's no agenda, no nothing. And I don't know what goes beyond that. You know, it's just everybody, like I said, when we had our first meetings, I told everybody, listen, the music has to be good or you're all going to quit. Because, you know, all these musicians, they're all professionals. To get in the group, you had to have sung for your supper, sung for a living at some point in your life, you know. And so everybody understands, and, you know, working for free. My father's great quote years ago was, if you're willing to work for free, there's no limit to the amount of work you can do. If he knew about this, he'd be saying, yeah, now you know what I was talking about.
How many musicians and then how many support staff travel to each show?
Yeah, you know, obviously it depends upon the size of it. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, I would say we go out there with about a 12-piece band. It's usually piano, bass, drums, guitar, a horn player or two, and like seven singers, six singers. It's like 12 to 15 pieces. Sometimes it's a little smaller because we're doing multiple shows a day, and some of them are in the morning and whatever. And some of them are larger just because people want to come. So that's the average. We pull from a pool of 125 musicians. And like I said, we have probably 1,500 adult volunteers. So on the adult side, there's more of them than the band. So I would say probably 20 people go, but then there's the behind the scenes of loading the truck and driving the truck and unloading it when you get there and setting things up. And then we've got our sound crew. We travel to it and they set up all the microphones and the sound system and all that. So a lot happens.
That is a pile of people.
It is, you know, and they're happy to be there. Probably the only bad part is I don't know everybody anymore. I know the band, but I don't know all the volunteers. And I see, you know, we get into a bus sometimes. A lot of times we drive ourselves if it's close enough. But most times we're in a bus. And I walk down the aisle and I see all these wonderful people, you know, and just doing it. I feel like Forrest Gump sometimes with people following me down the road. Have you all really thought this through? you know, it's 8 o'clock in the morning. And you're sitting on the bus getting onto the turnpike. What's wrong with you?
How has this changed you as a human being?
Has it changed me? I think the honest answer, and I always try for that, is that it brought to the forefront what was always there. You know, again, going back to when I lived on the Veterans Hospital grounds, there were no other kids there. My brother and I were the only two children that lived there. And it made for a very different upbringing, where you wouldn't, after school, go out and play in the neighborhood with people, and I would tend to be with disabled soldiers. So I think it was always there. My dad and mom were great people. I was a very fortunate one. When people talk about their rough upbringings, we bounced around a lot. We lived in so many places. I don't even remember. It was something like 19 different houses we lived in growing up because of just financial reasons. But I had a great childhood in that regard. You know, and my dad was really a humanist, as was my mother, and they introduced me to this world as a young kid. So I have to admit to you that I'm going to say something that I have to be a little careful about, but I was born to do this. Everything that coalesced in my life, all the different aspects you mentioned before and some ones you didn't, brought me to this place.
It's interesting that you say that, Tim, because my next comment was going to be, maybe this was just a little nugget in your heart that was sleeping all these years, and you brought it to life without ever knowing that it was there.
I think that's true. I think it's true. And the different aspects, I mean, being a musician, I had to be a musician to do this.
Yes.
Being something of a business person, I had to be that. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell people that, among my musician friends, they think I'm nothing short of a business genius. But when I walk into a bank meeting, I am so clearly a musician. I show up late. I'm not organized.
I'm sure you bring a big smile to your personal banker's face.
Well, I tell a lot of jokes. That's my way of covering up. You know? That's what we do. Because this thing, it costs a lot of money to do what we do. Buses alone, I don't even know what the current budget would be, but it's probably closing in on $2 million. You know, and we're all just charitable donations. We don't accept any kind of governmental money or anything like that. Everything is personal, and you know, for that we're extremely grateful.
Your concert at the Basie, that is a big fundraiser for you, right? And when is it?
We're at the Count Basie Tuesday the 16th, 7:30. And we're not quite sold out. We generally speaking do, so I'm hoping people that hear this would, and I'm just going to pitch it. This is the most heartwarming, great show you're ever going to see at holiday time. We have great musicians and all that, but we also have special guests who come, who are among the people we visit.
Those connections last forever, don't they?
They do.
That's amazing. Thank you so much, Tim, for taking the time out of your oh-so-busy schedule this time of year to share a few minutes of happiness with us.
Okay? Thanks for fitting me in. I really appreciate it, Valerie.
Tim McClune, the founder of Holiday Express, my guest this morning. Thank you, sir, and thank you for listening. Join me next week, same time, for another edition of Jersey Shore Matters. I'm Valerie Seagraves.
This was Jersey Shore Matters. Hear episodes every Sunday morning right here on Press Communications, LLC.